It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. I'm old enough to remember when buying textbooks in college meant going to the actual college bookstore. Now, a lot of that required reading gets bought online, and Amazon just struck a deal with three big schools to offer a special Amazon bookstore to students. The tech giant is getting in the game to start students on the path towards shopping at Amazon, but also to challenge competitors, as Nova Safo reports.
To hear Ed Blagojevski of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst put it, replacing their physical bookstore with Amazon is a no-brainer.
This is something that students have already started to do. Online sales of books has been increasing.
And a lot of college bookstores use Amazon to sell online. So UMass, Purdue, and the University of California, Davis are basically cutting out the middleman.
When any entity of that size comes into a marketplace, that is going to be a formidable competitor.
Todd Summer runs a university-owned bookstore at San Diego State. Hundreds of similar bookstores are run by outside contractors, including Barnes & Noble.
Definitely, this continues to put pressure on Barnes & Noble.
That's Forrester research analyst Sucharita Malparu.
This is yet again another example of how Amazon is gaining share.
But Malparu adds three stores do not market disruption make. More importantly, she says Amazon is getting young people used to its services, which could yield dividends well after students graduate. In New York, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Big companies stage takeovers and acqui-hires all the time, but as one of the world's largest chip makers, one might wonder why Intel announced this week that it was buying another chip maker called Lantic. The answer may be in the kinds of chips Lantic makes, according to CNET.com editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine.
This company is based in Munich, Germany, and it creates the chips that help to power things like these hubs that can link together your thermostat, say, to your garage door opener.
And this is an area that Intel maybe is not so strong in, and that's why they're buying this company?
I think that this acquisition indicates the fact that the Internet of Things is not going to just happen. Intel and other companies are trying to figure out the best way to get protocols so that all these devices can talk to each other. There's a lot of work to be done there, and Intel is making that investment now.
That's Lindsay Turrentine of CNET. As more and more of our data gets sucked in by governments or private companies and put into so-called black box algorithms, advertisements for products and certain policies get better at hitting their mark. There are dangers to this, though, and they're explored in a new book called The Black Box Society by University of Maryland law professor Frank Pasquale. Frank, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Tell me about what a black box algorithm is.
That's an algorithm that has certain inputs to it, say for a newfangled type of credit score, where they look at how many Facebook friends you have and maybe 1,000 other data points about you. And then they spit out an output, some score. But the black box algorithm is what's in between. That's the critical calculation. I call it a black box because we don't have access to these sorts of algorithms.
Can an algorithm be racist?
I think they can. I mention in the book this problem that occurred when a background checker website started advertising. And a very prominent computer scientist, LaTanya Sweeney, noticed that when she typed in her name as sort of a Google search, it would come back, LaTanya Sweeney, ?arrested? But if she put in Tanya, it would just come back, hey, we found Tanya Sweeney. Most people believe that the company involved is not full of racists trying to mark out African-Americans as more likely to be arrested.
Sure. It's a sort of the engineer's argument here is we've created this algorithm and it is learned that these names are more often searched for with the word arrested attached to them. And so we feel that this will be the most useful to present this kind of result.
That's right. It's just seen as reflecting the preferences of thousands or possibly millions of users.
And what's the problem with that?
The problem becomes that then there probably are lots of people at the margins who don't think this way, but then who are subtly influenced to think this way. And we need to move beyond simply saying, well, we just reflect what people are doing, to a point which we try to make these algorithms more educative and more progressive in their outcomes, I think.
Can we regulate them? And if so, how do we go about that?
I think that we need to look at the results. So some people, they read my book and they say, oh, you're talking about systems that are so complex, no human can understand them. No human can understand how the Google algorithm works or how certain finance algorithms work. And my response is, fine, but there are certain types of results that I think should not be permitted. And that, I think, is an anti-discrimination type of approach to it, where if it's hitting a particular group particularly hard, we may have to step in and say, we're not going to just accept these algorithm results as the be-all, end-all. We're going to have other ways of doing things.
Frank Pasquale is professor of law at the University of Maryland. He's also the author of the new book, The Black Box Society, The Secret Algorithms That Control Money and Information. Frank, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
And you've been hearing about troubles at an electronics retailer that, it seems, has been trying to keep customers coming in for ages.
Radio Shack's store-wide manager's red tag sale is on now. We've slashed prices 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%.
Those discounts might continue. Another report this week from Bloomberg, citing unnamed sources, says the electronics retailer could be about to reach a liquidation deal with Sprint. This could turn half of Radio Shack's physical stores into Sprint stores. Will they still sell every electronic cord adapter known to man and toy megaphones? Asking for a friend. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.